Hi Year 11s, this is Miss Meeks here and some students from Chalk Hills Academy, and we're going to be talking about the themes in Jekyll and Hyde. When you get your extract for your exam, you're going to want to link your what you're talking about to other points in the story, and you can do this quite nicely through using some of the themes that occur throughout. Some of the things we're going to be talking about today, and the most important ones that you should take note of, are duality, good and evil, science and religion, secrecy, reputation, and friendship. So we're going to be going through those, and there's going to be quite a lot of overlap, and we're going to try and include some evidence to discuss to back up what we're saying. So if we start off with duality then, duality is the most important thing that we see in this story, because we have, even in our title, these two characters. And the dual nature of man is definitely something that Stevenson is trying to get across with Jekyll and Hyde. How is the character of man split up? Yep.
It sort of split, especially in the book, to what you want to show other people and what you actually are on the inside. And that's proven by the fact that Jekyll separates himself from Hyde, even though they're the same person, because he doesn't want Hyde's actions to represent who he is.
Yeah, and that's a really significant point for the society, because actually appearance versus reality was huge in the Victorian era. People were very respectable on the one hand, but then there would be these taboo things going on in secret. You know, people would go to another part of town to commit their dirty, dodgy deeds, and then live their lives, as perfectly good gentlemen. So, Patrick, what do you think about duality and how it fits in with Jekyll and Hyde?
I think that the duality of man is perfectly represented through the two characters of Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Okay, how?
Mostly how one man is good, or presented as being good, one man is presented as being evil. So evil is obviously would be related to Mr. Hyde. As he was described as having Satan's signature upon his face.
Oh, excellent. Satan's signature upon his face, that's how he is presented, but what does that actually tell us about Hyde, and why has he used the archetype of Satan? Yeah.
Well, when you think about the context of the actual when it was released, even though Charles Darwin had just published his theory, everyone was still very religious. They
Excellent.
Just sort of like rejected those ideas, and in religion it said that God creates everyone. So saying that Hyde has Satan's signature is sort of saying that Hyde was specifically made by Satan and put on this earth because you'd sign something that you make.
Excellent. And what did you say earlier about what's going to happen at the end of the world?
That it's throughout the story, it shows a fight between good and evil, because the sort of the archetype that you'd think of good is like heaven, and the archetype you think of bad would be hell.
Good.
And in that time, because of religion, a lot of people thought that at the end of the world, there'd be a huge war between heaven and hell that would occur on Earth.
Excellent.
How and where does the battle between good and evil play out in this book? Most importantly, who wins?
There isn't really a winner.
Okay.
But if you had to say someone, did win, it would be Hyde, because he did eventually take over. By the end of the play.
What do you think that tells us about indulging in that darker side? Is it something that we should be doing or not?
It sort of portrays it as this sort of parasite. So once it gets in there, it could lie dormant and you're not aware of it, but it'll slowly start to sort of corrupt you.
Excellent.
I'd say that as Jekyll thought that becoming Hyde was a good thing, so a good feeling, a euphoric feeling, I'd say that as being Hyde is his guilty pleasure, he had too many of this goodness and it took over him.
I really like the use of that that word pleasure there, because that's actually really important, because it's we do certain things, and the idea of goodness can be split up into different types of goodness, and pleasure is considered a lesser than other types of goodness. So working hard, being educated, these are considered to be higher goods. And they are valued in society. Whereas something like pleasure, which you would get from drinking to excess or having casual sex or taking drugs, these pleasurable activities are considered morally corrupt in the Victorian society. So that's quite an interesting idea. Are there any quotes for for duality that we could include?
Man is not truly one, but truly two.
And what does that mean, and why is it significant?
It means that Jekyll and Hyde are, they're initially one person, but when he separates them, and the sole reason he did separate them was to release his darker transgressions without it, like, affecting his reputation.
Excellent. Who do we think has influenced Stevenson with this idea of split, a split man?
Didn't he take his, the theme for the book with a doctor that used to kill people for pleasure? And then...
Oh, yeah, that's really good. If you listen to my podcast on the context, you can hear about that. But were there any psychologists or scientists at that time which...
Freud.
Excellent. Tell me about Freud.
He had a theory that everyone had, sides to them. So the id, the ego, and the superego.
Okay, and what are those sides, and how do we see them in Jekyll and Hyde? So we have Hyde being this the person that indulges in our our appetites. So he doesn't think through his actions. He's very impulsive. And then we have Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, who obviously is this social construct. And Freud believes that society shapes our mind because it makes us believe that certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't. So Freud, a lot of his theory is really quite out there. It's not a psychology lesson, so we're not going to go into it. But basically, Freud believes that repression and repression of our impulses and appetites is what leads to neuroses and what leads to mental breakdowns. He thinks that, we have to accept and we need to stop hiding, excuse the pun, away our lower pleasures. You can't hear, but they are all in hysterics over that. Okay, so anything else for duality before we move on? What about this too was myself? So this is Jekyll in his confession, and he is he's saying that this was always part of him. So when do the reader discover who Hyde is?
His letter.
Okay, and what point in the play, the story is that?
Near the end.
Okay, so why is that relevant then for the reader?
Because the reader is pushed along to, basically, they don't know who Hyde is since the start of the play, and at the end they get a real surprise when they find out that Jekyll was Hyde, because Jekyll is represented as a completely different person, and it's
good.
A real surprise.
Oh, this is a real surprise.
Yeah.
In the book, not play. But it's really important that actually we know and we have the foresight to look on these scenes and to see, I see what's going on. But actually, as a first-time reader, you believe that this story is about two separate people. And that's really, really significant, that it is only after all of the action has taken place that we find that out.
It brings together the narrative.
Excellent.
That Stevenson wanted to portray.
And through Stevenson's narrative, what type of narrative does he use?
The narrator is third person restricted to artisan's viewpoint, so it's unreliable.
Yeah, so it is really unreliable. It's very ambiguous as to what's going on. We don't see Jekyll's perspective at any point, nor Hyde's. So we only really learn about the events, as you rightly said, through third person, which really adds to the mystery. It really adds to the suspense. Anything else about duality?
Dr. Jekyll's house.
Okay.
Because the back of it is described as like really dark and also described to have no knocker or no windows. So that could represent...
So I'm just laughing at knocker.
Oh, God.
Sorry, just carry on. So so it doesn't have any knockers or or a window. What does that signify?
Jekyll and Hyde being the same person.
Well, this student only described the back of the house. What she forgot to mention was the front.
Good.
Which is has loads of windows, has a lot of light, which could represent the light side.
Excellent.
Of Jekyll.
Yeah, which could represent that Jekyll's the front side, the windows and knockers, a sense of openness.
Sorry.
Showing that Jekyll is open and he's that the back has no windows, secretive, so he wants to keep Hyde a secret by himself, open to the
public. Excellent. He's hidden. Oh, I was just about to say he's hidden away. F5. Okay. So, good and evil then. What characters do we consider good in the story, and how do they juxtapose those that are evil?
We see characters like Jekyll, Sir Danvers Carew, and also Utterson as quite good characters in juxtaposition. Actually, in juxtaposition for all of them, it's Hyde that is the evil force.
And I've actually got this quote here. Alone in the ranks of mankind, pure evil. So we've got evil is personified through the character of Hyde. And that's really important because you can talk about that wherever in any essay, okay? Because really we've got what's the first instance of Hyde where we see him doing something bad?
He trampled the little girl.
Yeah.
Good. And the quote there, we've got an oxymoron, tramples calmly. So the idea of trampling calmly shows how... A trampling is normally something which would be out of control, very violent, and to be calm really contrasts the idea of how you expect someone to trample a little girl. But the little girl there is this idea of innocence. Like, could you get a more innocent figure in any story than a young girl?
A young boy.
All right, fine. Okay.
I was going to say that... when he trampled calmly, it's like a more casual aspect towards Hyde, meaning that it's something that he would do a lot or he does a lot.
Good. And he's completely devoid of a conscience, isn't he? He doesn't care about his actions in any way. He hasn't been fussed. And this idea of calmness behind his actions show that... It doesn't matter to him any of the harm he causes. What are some of the other evil acts that we see Hyde do? Yep.
We see Hyde kill Sir Danvers Carew.
And what does he use to kill him?
He bashed his head in with his own walking stick.
Yeah. Pretty brutal, pretty violent. And actually, when we have the scene where Jekyll is leading the police to Hyde's home, we see some real pathetic fallacy as he's going into the street, and he refers to that night as the first fog. And it's really there where we see, in fact, Stevenson uses pathetic fallacy constantly to have the weather reflect the mood. I'm just reminding our listeners. Pathetic fallacy is the weather reflecting the mood, Patrick.
I was confused.
Patrick didn't know. Gosh, set two. Doesn't even know about pathetic fallacy.
Oh.
Deary me.
Big up Patrick Mill.
And where Hyde lives, it's a different part of town. That part of town is horrible. And when Utterson goes through it, I can't remember everything from the extract, but when Utterson's arriving in this part of town, it's like he is at war with the elements before he even arrives. So it's a really good example of pathetic fallacy, right, and how Stevenson uses setting to represent good and evil as well.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we move on to science and religion then?
Sounds great, miss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, science and religion. Why is science so significant in this novel, Patrick?
As religion was very popular.
I said, why is science so
but religion was really popular in that, like, time, so science was heavily frowned upon.
Okay, and what act of science do we see?
It creating life, like another life. So people who did follow their religions were like, because no one but God can create life.
Yes.
So when someone of science did it by making Hyde, everyone wasn't happy.
How does Lanyon feel about Jekyll's experiments?
Scared him to death.
Good. They literally scared him to death. But before that, we know that Lanyon has fallen out with Jekyll because Jekyll's science is so important in the novella because Jekyll pushes the boundaries of science by creating Hyde. It's not something that's been done even to this day. So it's referred to as unscientific balderdash by Lanyon and scientific heresies. But where do we normally... Heresies is a word that we normally associate with...
With religion.
Excellent. So religion comes in here because we've got these two in conflict. This scientific exploration is seemingly very unreligious. Why?
It's because when you think about God, you think that only he can, as people have said before, that he can create life. And it's sort of, it's like Jekyll is trying to play God, and people don't like that because God has said that there is no God other than me.
Excellent. They don't like it, and Jekyll actually, you know, he loses control because of this. You know, he takes things too far. He is not omnipotent in the same way that God is. We've talked a little bit about Charles Darwin, and how does that play a big role for science in this theme? I'm just trying to remember if we talked about this on this podcast or not. I don't think we have.
No, we did.
Did we?
You talked about his name.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it in depth.
Okay. No, you talked about Freud.
Yeah, but he mentioned Charles.
Okay, go on. So tell me about the main theory that's going through that is important here.
It's Charles Darwin's theory.
Yeah.
Charles Darwin's theory of that humans evolved from apes, and his book, Origin of Species, and Stevenson cleverly uses a quote in the book, Ape-like Fury, to link to Hyde's nature. So saying that that he is like lesser of Jekyll, and it's also linking to his Origin of Species at the same time.
Yeah.
Very good, Patrick, with your yeah there. So you agree, do you, Patrick?
I fully agree.
Do you have anything to add?
I think that sums up.
Do you? Is that all, folks?
That's all, folks.
Okay, so with science then, how do we see Jekyll's demise through science?
Well, he makes Hyde through science. He makes it through... Well, you could... It's science, but it's represented as sort of like this magic, because it's described as like a potion or an elixir. But he makes Hyde, he makes that evil force that eventually takes him over at the end of the story, he makes Hyde through scientific endeavours.
Yeah, and I think this links really nicely with the idea of this as, you know, being part of the Gothic genre. The idea that essentially he mixes a potion and turns into this monster, this troglodyte, is really important because it adds with this conflict, this idea of changing your identity. So I think that it is scientific, but it is also like this mysterious, unknown, sort of ungodly action as well.
When in the chapter The Incident at the Window, when I think it's Utterson and Enfield, when they see Jekyll, when it's not actually Jekyll, they repeatedly say, "Oh God," which could represent that they need God to be able to see what happened because it's so horrific.
Yeah, it's like science has caused this devil, and you know they need God's salvation, don't they? They can't, you know. The constant religious references are really important here because that's the only thing that can save Jekyll, not that it does. The idea of reputation then, this is an important one that I want us to think about. So, reputation.
So for social context, in Victorian times, especially men such as Jekyll that were doctors, they were like, their reputation was very important to them, so how they dressed and how people perceived them to be. So we can also link this back to the house as well, so showing that the front was so nice compared to the back is linking to his reputation of how nice he should be.
And what's the reputation of Jekyll and how do we know it from his title?
Doctor.
Good.
As he's been titled as a doctor, he's obviously quite high up, because when you think of a doctor, you think of someone that's very sophisticated, someone that knows what they're talking about. You wouldn't expect them to do sort of like barbaric acts as you see Hyde do.
Excellent. And I think we have this this social circle that they are all part of is clearly a well-respected, you know, somewhat upper-class, educated bunch. You know, we've got Dr. Lanyon, we've got Dr. Jekyll, we've got Utterson, who's a lawyer. You know, they're very respected professions. And so when we have that juxtaposed with this animalistic, impulsive Hyde, it really emphasises how in Victorian times, reputation was the primary, but people also had these secrets that they couldn't let out at risk of losing their reputation. What else could we talk about for reputation then?
I would say that when Hyde trampled over the little girl, he felt like money would be able to, like, that person expected Hyde to be of such like a lower class. They were like getting really angry at him, and he just paid them off with money. So if you're like of a higher reputation, you would basically be able to get away with anything as long as you had money.
Oh, that's really interesting, given that article that we were talking about the other day. So we've actually, this is not really relevant, but we've actually, there was an article the other day about someone who was an Oxbridge student who stabbed her boyfriend. But
she got off time because she's too smart.
Yeah, but because she wanted to become a surgeon, they didn't send her to prison because they were like, oh, it will harm her career prospects. And so some of my year 10s were saying, well, you know, if someone from Lucy Farm stabbed their boyfriend, they wouldn't get let off, you know. So do we actually give people certain privileges because of their social status and reputation? And the answer is probably yes, but it was definitely a lot more back in the Victorian times.
We can even see this as that even when his friends start to find out that Jekyll has become Hyde and learn of what he's doing, they don't like report him to the police, and they don't do anything about it because of his. Even people that aren't even friends with him don't do it because he's got such a high class. But if it was someone that wasn't as rich and wasn't as well respected, and they knew what they were doing and to do with like science against religion, they could easily have been reported to the police.
Excellent. And I think that it says a lot about the value of reputation, the fact that Jekyll felt that he had to create an alter ego, the fact that he couldn't. He couldn't be a respectable person and do and act on his impulses, which is a real criticism of society, because actually you should be able to be yourself regardless. So if we think of the idea of homosexuality, or and there's the perhaps undertones that Hyde is a representative of homosexuality, or, you know, drug use or whatever it is. But the fact that you can't be yourself, and obviously Hyde takes things to an extreme, but you can't indulge in some of your pleasures because it risks your reputation so strongly, is actually one of Stevenson's main criticisms of Victorian London. Okay, anything else? No, any other themes that we think are noteworthy to talk about?
Now that sums it up.
Secrecy in the novel.
Go on then.
This can also link to reputation, so the fact that Jekyll creates a second nature because he wants to hide these indulgences and hide these things that he doesn't want people to see from his friends and from the rest of the public, because he is in the public eye.
Good. Dave?
You could say, because Enfield, when he tells Utterson about... He tells him about Hyde, first of all, but then he doesn't really want to gossip about it.
Good.
So it shows that even, like, the men, the gentlemen, don't want to talk about things because reputation and obviously secrecy.
Excellent. Do you think that there is Utterson feels betrayed by the secrecy?
Some points he does, because he starts to question Jekyll and question their friendship between the two.
Good. And I think that friendship is another theme that you should maybe have a look at, because he always gives Jekyll the benefit of the doubt and he's genuinely like concerned for his friend. But this whole thing has been a secret. It has been he's been being deceived by someone that he thought was a close friend. Is that everything? Okay, guys, good luck.